Get in the zone. This is the Yellow Ball Podcast, proudly supported by Cricket Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you're listening to this podcast right around the world, a very warm welcome to the Yellow Ball Podcast, proudly supported by Cricket Australia. I'm your host, Gary Lowe. This week, I was in New South Wales in downtown Dubbo. Someone came up to me and asked, what's the name of the podcast? And I said, the Yellow Ball Podcast. Get involved. Well, a massive show, a huge show, in fact, coming up. Of course, we'll have a look at the games that we've just witnessed from the ACT, the Jaguars and the Conquerors and the Assassins and the Wolves. As usual, we have a special guest in the studio. This episode's 16 overs segment is 16 overs with Donna Dolby. So good friends of the show, Indoor Sports Western Australia, got on board this week, and their president, Christian White, conducted that chat with Donna. It's a really great segment and is definitely a must listen to for any student of indoor cricket. And as always, on the pots and pans, pressing the buttons, is podcast producer, Justin. Juzzy, we received some warm messages on the email and on the socials, mate.
Yeah, look, a couple of nice messages on Facey. Some bloke left a glowing review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Mm-hmm. So that was always nice to see that feedback coming through.
And where can people send their email through to? What's that email again?
Yellowballpodcast@gmail.com.
Ah, beautiful stuff. And you're absolutely right. We do have some wonderful friends of the show. If someone out there does want to show a bit of love, what's the best thing they can do, mate?
Well, I reckon they message you directly with offers of, you know, love, support, understanding.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I reckon, you know, just get in touch.
Slide into those direct messages, mate. Yeah, I look forward to it. Look, certainly I think you can share the Facebook post that Cricket Australia does. I'm sure that'll probably help. And you can go to iTunes and...
Yeah, give us 5 stars.
Sounds good. Yeah,
let's go for five stars. Aim high.
5 stars sounds good.
We interrupt this podcast for a shout out to our indoor cricket sponsors: Sportscast, the official broadcast partner, and Burleigh Seacombe, the official ball supplier of the National Indoor Cricket League.
And just on that, in the first episode, we did a shout out to any company that would like to support the podcast, and literally within about 40 minutes of the podcast launching, the team at Play Straight Cricket emailed through and they said they wanted to be involved. So they were the very first company to be friends of the show. And let's face it, you never forget your first friend. You never forget your first friend. So this week, thanks to Play Straight Cricket, we are giving away a $100 Play Straight Cricket voucher. That's right, a $100 voucher. And here's all you need to do to win. Go to the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. Rate the podcast 5 stars, as podcast producer Juzzy's already alluded to. Leave a comment, and one comment at random will be drawn out as the winner. You could be the only person to go there and do it, and you're the automatic winner. So that's not too bad. The winner will be posted on the Play Straight Cricket Facebook page, and it'll be read out on next week's podcast. So if you're not an Apple user, relax. We've got plenty more competitions coming, but you can certainly check out Play Straight Cricket on the socials. Before we crack into the podcast proper, I just want to talk about the guests that are appearing on the show. So there's been a lot of feedback, a great deal of feedback, in fact, this week about potential guests that are coming on, which state they represent and what segment of the indoor cricket community they do represent. So sports fans, please understand that this podcast is absolutely focused and committed to remembering that the N in NICL stands for national. So this podcast should and will be a direct reflection of the wider indoor cricket community. So what I mean by that is not every person that loves, participates, or is involved with indoor cricket are necessarily a current day active player. There are coaches, managers, sports trainers, center owners, administrators, past players, and icons of the sport who's really built the foundation on which indoor cricket does currently stand. So the podcast is 100% committed to ensuring that representation from all corners of the indoor cricket community are present. To the same point, guests will also come from all three divisions: juniors, masters, and opens. So I didn't want to go through the list of the guests we're having this season just in case someone's unavailable for whatever reason, but hey, let's change the rules a bit. You asked for it, and that's what we're going to give to you. So this year, we're having Donna Dolby, David Shepley, Ross Gregory, Claire Koski, Clive Rose, the Mayor of Casey, Amanda Stapleton, Blaine Schloss, Ryan Dowse, Brianna Binch, Brenton Bryan. Two junior athletes will be coming in. One of them is around 11 years old, Stevie Hogan. Could be wrong. We'll find out his right age when he arrives. And the second one is Emily Valance. So that's a real big junior week that we'll be having just prior to the national tournaments taking place. So everyone will be getting involved. And a very big shout out to the states and territories, because without them, there is no podcast. And Cricket ACT this evening were absolutely flawless, outstanding, perfection. You know, they've committed to getting all the captains' interviews, and later on in the year, there's going to be a couple more Canberrans involved in the podcast. It's a perfect example. We need those states and territories. Queensland were exemplary last week. We're sure Western Australia next week, and then New South Wales the following week after that, and so on and so forth. They'll all be heavily involved and very supportive. So to all the states and territories, thank you so much. And, you know, the Donna Dolby interview that you'll hear this evening, that Christian White conducted, outstanding. So again, to Western Australia and to Christian, thank you so much. It really does make the podcast what it is. Okay, I reckon it's time to get into the episode proper. So let's dive in to the Yellow Ball Podcast.
The Yellow Ball Podcast, proudly supported by Cricket Australia.
So I'm joined here in studio by Queensland and Australian Opens player Ryan Dowse. Dowsey, how you go, mate?
You're not bad. Thanks for having me, Gary.
Mate, not a problem. Now, you've played in 8 nationals, having won 3 times and been captain 5 times. You've been player of the series twice, player of the final once. You've been on Australian tours. You've won 2 World Cups, a Trans-Tasman, an Australasian Cup. So we'll get started with the games that we've watched tonight, starting with the Conquerors 111 defeating the Jaguars 41. Of course, these games coming from Canberra. The Conquerors picking up 3 skins in the process. This game was umpired by Andrew Hall-Villars, and that's actually one piece of feedback, Dowsey, that we received on episode 1 of the podcast, which I'm sure you listened to, did you not?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, good man. That's the correct answer. He's nodding at me. Oh, here's your bag of cash, mate. Thanks for saying yes. Really appreciate it. That we didn't acknowledge the umpires in the first week, and I'm a pretty staunch advocate for umpires. I'm a member of the umpires union. So a big thanks to Andrew Hall-Villars for officiating that game. And 2 weeks ago at the Springwood and Strathpine game, the officials were Wayne Thomas for the women's division and Michael Guest for the men's. So well done to both those umpires. We'll now cross to Western Indoor Sports in Canberra, where we've got Chris Griffin standing by with both of the 2 captains.
Hi there, it's Chris Griffin here at the ACT. Western Indoor Sports, speaking with Jaguars captain after that match against the Conquerors, Jake Flores. Jake, welcome to the Yellow Ball Podcast, second episode this year. What are your thoughts on that game, mate?
Probably wasn't our best batting performance. We just didn't show any intent, and they executed in the field. I thought they actually fielded really well and took their chances. You know, we've just got to be better with the bat, especially early, and then we just didn't really finish well, so didn't get much momentum. But in the end, we learned from those games, and we still had a good start to the season, so we've just got to pick ourselves up for next game.
Yeah, that was mentioned in the live stream, so been undefeated up until now. So how do you improve from here?
We're missing a few players as well today, so it'll be good to get those guys back. But we've just got to start taking our chances a bit more and showing a bit more intent with the bat. But, you know, look, it's just one of those games where we just didn't put it together, but I'm confident we can bring it back next week. So.
And we had a few young players in your side today. How do you think they went, and what do we expect out of them in the future?
Yeah, the first game's in the NICL competition. I think they're capable of playing at that level. You know, the new guys to that sort of level, and I thought they handled themselves well. Daniel Osher is only his second year of indoor cricket, so you know he's got a bright future ahead of him, and Owen Levings has been playing for a while in our junior competitions, but he's definitely an up-and-coming star, and you know, once he plays a bit more of this sort of level cricket, I'm confident he'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Jack.
Thank you.
All right, I'm also here joined by Brock Winkler, Conqueror's captain and my commentator in the next match. Brock, dominant victory there, and let me know your thoughts, mate.
Yeah, really pleased with the victory. We set out to do a couple of things, and we did them really well. Thought we carried momentum really well. We managed to wrangle it back when they had a really good skin, and then carry that through into the batting innings, and it showed in the victory.
Now, the Conquerors are a new franchise here in the third season of the ACT NICL. Were any challenges or anything to do with that, and how's it been being a part of a new club?
No real challenges. It's set up really well by What's Needed Electrical and by Southern Cross Cricket, and we've been able to recruit relatively well. We might not have the strongest squad on paper, but I think we've shown yesterday and today with our three victories that we're capable of matching with any team in this competition. So, yeah, we're just really, really excited to move forward with it as the Conquerors franchise and see what happens.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, top of the table, undefeated after the third match. Any way to improve moving from here?
Always room to improve, mate. Last night we probably didn't put a full performance together with the bat and the ball. I don't think we did again tonight. As I said, we definitely let one pair get away with some poor bowling. And then I guess realistically that we got away with a few things with the bat. While I don't think the score accurately reflected our batting performance. We did bat well, but I think there were a lot of things to improve on going forward.
Yeah, and the final score here in the men's division, Conquerors 111 to the Jaguars 41. Thank you for your time, Brock, and back to Gary Lowe.
Thanks very much, Chris Griffin, and an outstanding job, can I just say, by Claire Koski and Chris Griffin, massive supporters of the podcast ACT Cricket, and I thought both of them had a wonderful call this evening. A little bit of an inside tip for those listening on the podcast. Darcy and I actually got a little bit up close and personal. We came into the radio studio earlier to watch the games in the tea room, in the dinner room here. What's it called? The what do you do when you call your lunch? Your break room.
Smoko room.
So we're sitting around here this morning. We watched the games together. And I can tell you that Mr. Ryan Dowse was busily writing down notes the whole time. So we actually had a really good breakdown of the game. And I'll let Dowsey maybe go through his thoughts on it, because I can tell you he's written about 46 A4 pages. So, Dowsey, where did you think that game was won and lost?
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I think the Conquerors bowling first, I think they got off to a really, really good start, being able to keep, you know, no runs off the first over. That first skin, they were able to get four wickets. So from that point of view for them, that was able to really lead them into some momentum for the whole bowling innings.
Yeah.
Keep a first pair for -3. You know, you can't really ask much more than that.
And can I ask a question? You've got someone down to -3 for the first batting partnership. That really gets your tails up for the rest of the innings, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The next 12 overs, you know, the momentum's completely with you. The batting team's on the back foot straight away. So, yeah, so I think in the first four overs, I think the Conquerors really set the tone in the field. Obviously, Brock Winkler taking a couple of really good runouts. Pretty much anything that came to that front court in that first four overs, they were pretty well straight onto it, setting the tone really nicely. A lot of front court presence.
Yeah, and I also think that Alex Kwong joined in and started getting in to the party pretty wildly when it came to the fielding. Certainly Brock Winkler in that first four was quite a standout. I also want to ask you about what happened in the first batting partnership of the second innings there. So Claire Koski, one of the commentators, I won't say that she was critical, but she did, well, it raised her eyebrows at least, that they didn't really come out with their heavy artillery and barrage for their bowling in that first batting partnership. Now, there's two schools of thoughts here. They were only defending, what was it, 41 or whatever it was for the entire game. So do you try and get them down immediately with some big heavy stuff, or keeping in mind they were defending a skin of -3, but the next skin was 30, which they won because they restricted the batting partnership to 29. How do you get the balance right between deciding, look, we need to almost forego the game to win the skin, or we just need to go for this game at all costs? That must be a difficult challenge, I'd assume.
Yeah, definitely. I think Garrett, really depends on how well you know your opposition as well. I mean, me personally thinking, I see 41, you know, trying to come out and defend that. I mean, my whole, as whenever I've captained a team or whenever I've been a part of a team, the whole thing is to first of all win the game.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, skins are one thing, and I can obviously understand why they've probably done what they've done and saved a little bit of firepower back. But you can see, looking back on that first skin, obviously having Sam Dwyer bowl that re-bowl over, someone that comes on with, that bowls with a lot more pace, ball swinging around a lot more, obviously something that's going to be a lot harder for them to hit. Could they have thrown more at it? Possibly.
Yeah.
But then the risk becomes if they're throwing too much firepower out, obviously that skin of 30 is going to be something that they're going to want to defend. It depends. I mean, like, you can come out and I've seen teams there, you know, defending 41, you know, you take a couple of wickets, your first one or two overs, go, okay, righto, can really throw the kitchen sink here. But then again, the same problem becomes if you burn a lot too early, you're going to really risk foregoing that second skin.
You know, that's one of the reasons why being a captain is such a difficult job, is you need to make those command decisions on the fly. You've got very limited time and you need to weigh up all your options. So either way they went, it was very tricky for them, whether they went for the skin or whether they forego it to try and go the win. When you've got 41 and negative 3 for the first skin, it's always going to be a pretty big ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game, which was the Wolves taking on the Assassins.
Proudly supported by Cricket Australia, this is the Yellow Ball Podcast.
And we might also just touch on Ryan Dowse, that the batting performance from the Conquerors was pretty consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we mentioned, you know, only chasing 41, it's pretty easy to probably get a little bit complacent out there. And I thought Francis Machen and Phil Marchant really went about, you know, that first skin quite well. Obviously, neg three, they could have really done whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I thought they looked in control the whole time. They didn't really give them too many chances. They looked really calm and composed. I mean, going on from that, I mean, as a team with the Conquerors, you know, they lost their first wicket in the seventh over. So I think they went about that in a really mature way.
Yeah, I mean, their skin average was 27.75. Their lower skin was 25. Their high skin was 29. So that kind of shows you what kind of tight grouping those four skins were.
Absolutely.
It was extremely consistent across the board. So we'll move on now to the Wolves and the Assassins. So we have the Wolves 103 defeating the Assassins 77, with the Wolves picking up three skins. We have Chris Griffin standing by with the Assassins captain, Luke Ryan. So we'll head out to Western Indoor Sports right now. Chris.
And all the games are complete here at the Western Indoor Sports Centre in the ACT, the NICL match between the Assassins and Wolves. I've got the captain of the Assassins here, Luke Ryan. Thanks for joining me, Luke.
No worries, Griffin.
I would just, first off, there was a lot of third ball opportunities in that match that went begging. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, cheers, mate. look, we're happy that our plan, obviously, against a good batting attack like the Wolves with plenty of Rockets players and Comets players, was to create pressure by building dots. So, look, as a team, we're happy that we were able to create those third ball opportunities. Obviously, the next step for our team is to be in executing those plays. Obviously, the amount of third ball players that we had, to not take a single one of them definitely hurts you on the scoreboard, and that was evident in the result.
Yeah, now that puts the Assassins at the bottom of the ladder. Previously, in the past two seasons, you've been minor premiers. What are you going to do to turn it around?
Yeah, thanks again, mate. obviously with the Assassins, we're a proud group. Obviously, this year with the Panthers going out, Benesh and Southern Cross Cricket have put in two sides with the Conquerors, which. For the Assassins group from last year, we've had to split our talent across two sides and then recruit from the Panthers. And I think the Jaguars have snagged a couple of those good players in Sam Dwyer and Alex Bazana. So for us, we've got a young group. We've got a good group, mix of experience as well, with obviously Vinesh Bennett and Claire Koski, guys like that. So I think for us, it's about our young guys realising their potential and stepping up to obviously open men's cricket. We've got a lot of people playing their first real season of NRCL. Guys like Isaac Deaker, who had a taste of it last year, but he'll get a good run this year. Guys like Zach Marin, who played his first game last night and played really, really well. And guys like Ethan Fitzpatrick to come back in. Really tall young leggy who's got a bright future.
Ethan's definitely one that stands out to me as well as one of the most talented cricketers we've got here, currently injured for those listening. Now, Luke, yourself, you've been through a bit of injury and you got injured at Nationals last year. We talked about that during the game. What's it like coming back, and you're ready and raring to go?
Yeah, mate, it's been a long sort of time away from the game. I missed out on a trip to Sri Lanka and missed out on an outdoor, the whole outdoor season. So I'm just excited to be playing cricket again. It's been a while. It's been a lot of time in the gym with rehab and physio, working hard with Angus Olivre and Elite Sports Physio. So I'm just really happy to be on the court and able to get back to doing what I love. So.
I can tell you it's better to have you on it than off it, mate, and we're thrilled that you're back. And thank you for your time, mate.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So it really was a funny old game. Luke Ryan touched on it, that they wanted to create pressure by building dots or building dot balls. And they definitely achieved that with over 40 dot balls in the first innings. He did sound a little bit disappointed that they didn't take any of their third ball chances, of which there was 12. So only converting 0 of 12 third ball opportunities. That'd be something they'd be looking to tidy up, Dowsy.
I think obviously the Assassins bowled extremely well to at least create 12 third ball opportunities in beginning. They bowled over 40 dots. I mean, from their bowling point of view, they bowled extremely well.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they were probably unlucky to not convert any of those. But at the same time, I think the Wolves still batted quite smart. They really didn't give the Assassins much of a chance at all. Because I know they did look like they were favouring that full and wide option for the third ball. And yeah, I thought they actually handled it quite well.
And we're just in a bit of a holding pattern waiting for Tim Flores, the captain of the Wolves, to meet with Chris Griffin. So while we are waiting, we might just run through the Wolves' bowling performances. They actually created a fair few dot balls themselves, 40 dot balls, and they converted zero of their 10 third ball opportunities as well. So it was a wacky game with a hell of a lot of dot balls. And just as I say that, I'm being given the nod from podcast producer Juzzy that the interview is ready to go. Tim Flores is now with Chris Griffin, so we'll quickly flick back to Western Indoor Sports.
And I'm joined here now by Tim Flores, the Wolves captain. Tim, 109-77. Got to be happy with that victory, mate.
Yeah, I look pretty happy with how he played. Scoreboard probably doesn't reflect the pressure on court, especially with the cameras around. Just applies that little bit more pressure in these kind of situations. But yeah, really happy with how the guys played tonight. We kind of have struggled to put together the previous weeks, and to come back and put on almost a clinic against one of the top sides is really good.
Yeah, and we talked about through the commentary with the third ball opportunities that you're able to negate. That was the key indicator for the game for me. So getting off those third balls, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, just something I spoke about with the guys just before we went out was just those little disciplines on those third ball chances, and even taking a couple extra dots and working hard to fight to get through that third ball and just limit the wickets, really, and which we did pretty well. I think we lost 2 wickets in the end. And it just shows on the scoreboard.
And here in the ACT, the Wolves and the Assassins is the rivalry, mate. You were just telling me that's the first win you've got over the Assassins in a round game. You've beaten them twice in grand finals. What's your thoughts on taking on that side?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure how to feel about that. first round game, we've beaten them, and we seem to come up against them in every final and come up on top every time. But, yeah, it's good to play against that kind of side on camera and kind of put on a show what ACT really has. And the kind of rivalry we have, like on court, it's pretty tough, but off court with here in the ACT, we're all pretty close anyway.
Yeah, that's it. And thank you for your thoughts, Tim. The final score here, as mentioned before, Wolves 109, the Assassins 77. What an outstanding game of cricket we saw here at Western Indoor Sports. Thank you very much. And back to you in the studio, Gary.
Yeah, thanks very much, Griffo. And I just really want to highlight your efforts this evening with getting those captains' interviews. It really does make a massive difference to this podcast, mate. So your efforts certainly don't go unnoticed. You're a legend. So thanks very much for that. And we had a bit of a chuckle when we watched it this evening, mate, with the banter between Chris Griffin and Brocky Winkler.
Griffin and Brocky were excellent to listen to. I mean, I was fortunate enough to room with Brocky over in Sri Lanka on my very first Australian Open men's trip.
PG rated podcast, mate. Yeah, so what happened? Anything exciting?
Absolutely. No, he's a great bloke, honestly, and I think he did a phenomenal job on the mic, and same as Griffo. I mean, he was really good to listen to for both of those games.
Yeah, so thanks very much to everyone involved with the broadcast this evening. We certainly enjoyed it. Well, that wraps up those two games that we watched earlier on from Canberra. Dowsy, I do have you with me, though, so I do want to ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Now, you've had a wonderful playing career and still a young man, can I just say, but you're also giving a lot back to coaching, and I don't want you to go anywhere while I've got you. So tell me about your coaching, mate. Why do you get involved in it? Because I was at Strathpine a couple of weeks ago and I saw you out on court with about half a dozen of the kids going through drills and practices and running them around. Not only did it look like you were bloody enjoying it, but the kids were obviously getting a lot out of it too. Why do you do it?
I guess, Gary, it's always been a thing of mine that I've just genuinely taken an interest in the other players at the centre or in, you know, the wider Southeast Queensland region that do play the game. And I guess I've always liked seeing, you know, helping some of the younger kids out, or even if it's a grown adult, some of the lower grade players or masters players that need a bit of help or advice or anything like that. Like I've always enjoyed seeing those people being able to succeed and enjoy the game, you know, because obviously this game has given a lot to me. So for other people to be able to get that as well, I think that's really good to see.
You started as an 8-year-old in indoor cricket.
Yeah, so I started as an 8-year-old playing peewee cricket down at Strathpine Inside Sports. Kind of actually got into the game as a bit of an accident. Parents wouldn't let me play rugby league.
No.
No, mum and dad weren't too keen on that. So they went in the, what was it, yellow pages, white pages back then?
Oh, I don't even know, mate. I'm too young for that kind of stuff. Google wasn't around when you were playing indoor
phone
cricket,
book.
Mate?
Let's put it that way. Phone book.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, went into the phone book, found a phone number for Inside Sports, went down there, started playing, as I said, Pee Wee cricket as an 8-year-old, and pretty much just played on a Friday night down there, and I kind of enjoyed it, so I kept at it. I still remember there were that many kids that played. They had a trial for under 10 Super League. So I would have been about 8 years old. Wow. They had a trial for under 10s, managed to jag a spot in that team.
Yep.
Pretty much from then on, the rest is history.
And I know that one person who's been very influential, not only in your indoor cricket career, but also your personal development, Mr. Ron Olsen.
Yeah, absolutely. Ronnie's had a massive part to do with my, you know, I guess you could say playing career, but even coaching career as well, if you want to say career. Really first came in contact with Ronnie as a 14-year-old in 2009.
Mm.
He was my coach at Strathpine for the 14 and under side. Played that whole Super League year, went away to state titles. The next year, he was actually my coach for the 14 and under SEQ side that went away for Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, Ronnie's been with me the whole way, even with regards to, you know, coaching philosophies and working with the kids and everything like that. I think Ronnie's a very, very good communicator with that junior age group. And I think he works on the mental aspect of the game, whether that be, you know, getting the best out of the kids. It could be a bit of ego massaging, those types of things.
ego massaging.
Yeah, well, I guess when you're dealing with, you know, 15 to 17-year-olds, that's something that definitely does become a part of the game. And I think he has been phenomenal with working with, you know, players that age.
And now you play in the Australian Open men's side.
Yep.
Having Brenton Bryan as the coach, how do you find that?
Yeah, I've had a lot to do with Brenton over the last couple of years. Brenton selected me in the under-20 side that went away to Wellington. But then from then on, Brenton was me 21 and unders coach that went away to the Trans-Tasman and Port Macquarie. And then moving on from there into Dubai. And then last year, with the Queensland Open Men's and Australian Open Men's. Brenton's had a lot to do with me as well, especially more from a mental point of view and, you know, especially myself being the captain of those teams when he's been the coach. And I've worked pretty closely with him as far as strategizing the game, working with the guys, how we're going to get the best out of the players, you know, coming up with batting orders, bowling orders and everything like that. And Brenton's been really good. He's pretty much empowered myself on the court to pretty much run the show. And, you know, those types of experiences out on the court, you know, you take them on for the rest of your career. You know, you can look back on, you know, in moments in games, you go, okay, well, I was in a pretty similar situation, you know, a couple of years ago. What did I do then? How did I handle it?
Just a big circle of life, mate, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what's really pleasing, mate, to see you in your craft and what you're doing now. Obviously, you're still a current player and you're at the top of your game as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, you also really do give back and you've taken those aspects of coaching from your Ron Olsons, from your Brenton Bryans, and along the way you've picked the bits and pieces that work out well for you and you've digested that and now you're giving out that goodness to the younglings beneath you, mate. So I think it's a really noble thing you're doing. I think you're doing a wonderful job. And even just sitting with you tonight, watching that game and the breakdown that you've done. And I can tell you folks, I know it's a listening thing, it's not a visual thing, but there's notes written all over the place. He's had to take off his shoes and his socks, the poor fella, because there were so many dot balls. But, mate, really appreciate you coming in, spending the time to break down the game and your thoughts and your analysis are truly welcome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, yeah, I think it's a fantastic initiative, you know, proudly supported by Cricket Australia. Obviously, the way the sport's going at the moment, we've got the National Indoor Cricket League. We have, you know, games that are live streamed fairly frequently. Obviously, being able to have the podcast as well for you to, you know, digest the games and be able to speak with different people within the wider indoor cricket community. I think it's really, really positive signs for the future.
Beautiful. Hey, Dowsie, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Gary. Cheers.
No. Cheers, bye.
Cricket, the classic Aussie game that we love to play anywhere we can. The beach, the backyard, the local park, and if you're lucky, the MCG. It can even be played indoors. Indoor cricket is a fun, social and quick game that can be played all year round. And it's for kids and adults of all abilities. You only need teams of 6 or 8 and everyone bats and bowls. Join an existing competition or start your own indoor cricket team. Visit playcricket.com.au to find out more.
And we'll move on now with a podcast with a great interview from Christian White. It's 16 Overs with Donna Dolby.
I'm sitting here with Donna Dolby today. Donna's one of the first of the 3 inductees into the Cricket Australia Indoor Cricket Hall of Fame. Thanks for spending a bit of time with me, Donna.
Great to be here.
We'll like to find out about your playing career initially. Where did it all start for you?
God, it seems so long ago. I'm not sure I can remember. mid-80s, I think. It was the thing to do. It was all the rage back then. And mixed on a Friday night with a group of friends was sort of how I spent my social time. And it wasn't very long after that that I was asked to play Super League back then. And I think that was in the first season I was playing. And almost the following year, I think it was, I was lucky enough to be selected in the Queensland side. So I think that was 87. So okay. There you go.
Excellent. Do you remember?
Well, my first Nationals was 87, so it probably was picked in 86.
So there you go. Do you remember where that first Nationals was in 87?
Actually, I might have it wrong. It might be 88. It was 88. Dandenong in Victoria.
Ah, yeah. Excellent.
And I only played 3 games. Lots of people talk about whether they enjoy sitting out or not. I was incredibly grateful to be part of it. Obviously, you want to be playing, but I also knew my place at the time as well.
Yep. Excellent. So got into that state side and things developed from there for you. Australian selection came along.
Yeah, I mean, in all of the early years, it was honorary and they were honorary sides. So I was selected in multiple honorary sides over those years. But the one first year that it the side toured was the year I didn't play Nationals. I was injured. Wow. So it was a little bit gutting at the time, I think. I went on the 97 tour. Actually, there was a tour way back in the early 90s that I, wasn't good enough to be selected at the time, which is cool. My first tour was in 1997 to South Africa.
Okay. And some rather memorable moments from that tour and some friendships, no doubt, that you made back then that might still stick today?
Yeah, and I think it's friendships that... there's lots of friendships throughout the time, and that side at the time was also dominated by the New South Wales team, which was kind of the it dominated indoor cricket wins for the women for many years. So quite rightly dominated the Australian side as well. So most of my lasting friendships are with sort of Queensland players throughout that era, more recently through my time coaching the Australian side and players, friends sprinkled throughout the country.
Yeah, so let's move into the coaching side of things. Where did those aspirations start from? Obviously, I'd suggest playing days and...
I think with all players, you do a bit of coaching as you're playing. I was coaching our Ipswich side for many years and our zone side. And in my last year of playing for Queensland, I captain coached the Queensland team. And, that was the year that I sort of gave it all away. I gave, Queensland and Australia away and, stopped playing Super League as well. And I thought I was giving it away. And about 6 months later, the junior coach had to pull out of the Australian side and I was asked to coach. I guess that's 2005. So that's kind of started it. And I coached the junior side for 3 years to 2007. And then, then I got...
Lovely thing to have on the resume.
Yeah.
So what's probably some greatest memories from coaching or greatest achievement you feel from the coaching ranks?
I always think it's not the big things, it's the little things. I think it's when you, it's seeing players achieve things that they didn't think was possible for them and hoping that you played a small part in helping those things happen.
Yep.
And then probably the other one is just, I was never a particularly technical component of it wasn't necessarily my strength in the game, or certainly wasn't my strength in the game. And for me, it was about developing a culture, and, you know, hopefully that's a, you know, pretty strong and good culture.
Yeah, well, that's, I'm moving into state coaching ranks myself recently, and I feel like the culture side of things and bringing a team together is a nice goal to set as a coach, yep. I think.
Yeah.
Watch them come together and achieve something would be spectacular.
Yeah, mostly culture will trump all else within a team, and, you know, if you can have a great culture and people want to be part of that culture and strive for each other, then you can achieve a heck of a lot of things that potentially individuals can't.
Yeah. So basically teamwork trumps all.
Yeah, to some extent. But teamwork, yep. Though, you can have teams that don't have a, you know, don't set high bars. So you can have teamwork. You can have all sorts of teamwork, but you actually want a high performance culture to go with your teamwork.
Yep. Makes sense. So we'll go back a moment to the playing days.
Ooh.
And we'll ask the question of a couple of memorable moments from the playing days, or a couple of thoughts from back there that we really enjoyed. Probably a number of them at different, different levels.
Lots of them. You know, the first time you play for Queensland, the first time you play for Ipswich, you know, the first of everything, I think they're always pretty special. Then, and the wins against the odds, I think, are the other things that come that are pretty special as well. And, you know, I think captaining Queensland in, I think I was 93, that was pretty special as well.
So over your time in the game, you would have seen the game develop from what was probably a very social game back in those, say, late 80s or mid-90s through to today, where it's really starting to turn the corner in its professionalism and how we go about it in our prep work at Australian level, and even rehabilitation and, say, ice baths or
whatever
massage,
it is.
Whatever it is after the game to do recovery, yeah?
Yeah, so, that was a lot of that happened, I guess, well before our time as a sport that isn't a professional sport in any way. You know, we don't get paid to play. Nothing like that happens. And if I think back to the early 2000s even, we were doing a lot of those things, the ice baths, the nutrition, we're looking at nutrition, and wasn't just training, it was specific training for the sport, you know, introducing plyometrics, all those sorts of things that actually made us better players. And I can remember, numerous people sort of suggesting that we at times were a lot of what we did was more professional than some of the professional sports in the early days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's just continued over time.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's great to see. It's great to see the participants in our sport endorsing that and really accepting that culture and being responsible for their bodies and the way they prep for these carnivals. They are hard on you.
Yeah, as a player, when we started to do those things, you can actually feel the difference in yourself and the strength that you might have, and, you know, that allows you to bowl a little bit sharper or to concentrate for a little bit longer or be a little bit quicker off the mark between wickets. And as you know, this is a game of inches, not
all those one percenters by the end of the game add up and give you that complete package
absolutely.
When you're playing the game. Let's move forward to your Hall of Fame nomination and induction.
Yep.
The night of.
Oh, yes, that night.
That night. So, how did you feel? What were the emotions that went through the body?
Well, I was actually pretty emotional. I guess surprising. I was a little choked up about it. I never played the sport for individual honours. I played the sport because I love the sport. Yeah. And, to end up, you know, inducted into the Hall of Fame, doing something you loved was very emotional. It's kind of a recognition of all that had gone before that. And, I was really lucky to have played in an era and coached in an era with really talented players. I was coached by myself by some really great coaches. Rob Taylor, Greg Donnelly, Brad Zeller, to name, a few of those. And I said, I just, I feel very fortunate. And to have that was quite emotional. And Yeah, I'm very grateful.
Very humble, very much a team player, which is great.
Yeah.
Yes, but no, it definitely would have to be highlighted as a personal accolade for the time that you've put into the sport, the effort that you've put into the sport.
Mm.
Those achievements both at club level, then moving interstate,
yeah.
And then through to your Australian levels,
mm.
Both in playing and then in a coaching aspect. So, yeah, just back with the Australian side. So the travel involved in the game now, probably, as you say, it was more honorary, the positions back when you first started. Now there's all the travel involved. So the sport really is improving in its professionalism. Hopefully we can continue to grow its base and supporter base and commercial aspects of the game. What are your thoughts on the future of indoor cricket, if I may ask?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we started touring in 1997 and generally have toured every year with the odd exception since that time. You know, more recently with the nickel, I think is a great step forward for our game. I wish, and I've said this to numerous people, I wish I was a young person or a young female starting out in sport today. I think the opportunities that will be afforded to us in the future will far surpass where they are today.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with that. Mm. Happening across the board in our wonderful landscape of cricket, so hopefully it keeps filtering through to the indoor space as well.
And I think it will, and you know, I'm seeing a lot of the marketing around it's the off season and you know, let's do it indoors, which, to coin an old phrase, I haven't seen the let's do it indoors now, and that might not be politically correct anymore either, I'm not sure.
We'd certainly like our listeners to jump onto playcricket.com.au and find their local centre. We definitely, yeah, definitely endorse that. Yes, I agree.
But yeah, I think those are great step forwards.
Yeah, and the NICL that has been created in the last few years, it's nice to see that best club in Australia type of approach coming or concept coming through. Players are endorsing it, getting to travel a little bit, so might be the second or third string type player that hasn't quite been able to make a stateside, getting to understand a little bit of the culture of what a mini national carnival is like. So I think that's been great for the game too.
Yeah, certainly when I started, the club championships were massive. They were, you know, there was a real pride in playing for your club, and I played for Ipswich, you know, for all of my playing career, and yeah, there was a huge pride in that, you know, representing indoor in those club championships, and that was for all players. That's kind of where it all started, and for you to be able to get to a national championship at that level and experience that, I think is pretty unreal for everybody. And that I think is the beauty of indoor cricket. You know, it's the ultimate team game because everyone has to bat and bowl. So, you know, there's no hiding from it. Every player matters. Every single person matters.
So that probably leads me towards one of my final questions for you today, which would be from your time back playing in the game again, favourite attribute for you within the game, that batting, that bowling, or that fielding side of things?
I loved fielding. Yep. I would field all day if I could. And, you know, I would probably, you know, if I had a strength, it was probably fielding, and I was quite fearless about it. I didn't really care whether I got hit or anything like that.
So yeah. What was your preferred fielding position?
Point.
Yeah. Oh, in there for the tight, hard catches, hey?
In there for the fun of it.
And the quick run outs from those mistimed chop shots, or even the perfectly timed chop shot straight into you, potentially.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great to hear. And batting partnerships, you're really in the game. You really got to understand your batting partner, keep that communication open, probably good eye contact.
Yep.
All those sort of things.
I think all my players will be having a giggle at that. Communication, eye contact. I always say you don't have to speak if you've got eye contact, you just know.
Yep. I'm glad to hear because, I'm heading down the same path myself, I think, with that particular thought on the game. Well, look, it's been a pleasure catching up with you today, Donna. Again, congratulations on your time within the game, your time at Australian level and World Cup representations, both as a player and as a coach. And then in particular, obviously being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations again on that. It's great to have spent some time catching up with you. And yeah, we hope to see you around in the sport a little bit longer.
Awesome. Thanks, Christian, very much.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
The Yellow Ball Podcast, proudly supported by Cricket Australia.
Well, sports fans, that brings an end to this episode of the Yellow Ball Podcast. A big thank you to Christian White, Donna Dolby, Ryan Dowse, and of course the team at ACT, Chris Griffin for bringing us those wonderful captain's interviews. And of course our new friends, Play Straight Cricket. Of course, the best indoor cricketers, Play Straight. Thanks very much for joining us. Have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Yellow Ball Podcast, proudly supported by Cricket Australia. Get in touch with us anytime, yellowballpodcast@gmail.com.